Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said, therefore, I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. But I fear lest by, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. It's very important to look at the last phrase of this. Have received another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. That is saying somebody comes and preaches another gospel, another Christ, another spirit, and you receive him. You need to have the sensitivity to reject him in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. Those phraseologies are extremely warning to us of something that can happen. That's something that is similar but not the same. Something that is close but not exactly. The Bible said, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that went away will come again. The Christ that we preach must be the same Christ of the Bible. Not a 21st century Christ, but the same yesterday and today and forever Christ. You know, bait and switch is quite a deal. That's the way so many people are duped and lose their money. Bait and switch. You know what that is? They give you something and they train you to accept it. Then after a while, they switch that which is authentic for that which is not. Years ago, I had a friend and Pastor Brandon talks about cutting people loose. I had to cut him loose, and when you hear this story, you'll understand why. I'd known him for years, and he had come in here, and I had connected him with our contemporary, Pastor Bill Moore, in the Valley, and so he was going to go down there after he was here, and he had a unique situation. He had a friend that had a major, major jewelry business in Florida. He had one of the biggest jewelry stores in Miami, and this guy would give him great watches and great jewelry, just give it to him for nothing. He had that much money, and so he gave him one, and I bought it. It was at a fraction of its worth, and a couple of years passed, and so this guy came back to town, and he said, hey, how you like this watch? And I said, let me see that watch, and he took it off and gave it to me, and I put it on my arm, and that watch was worth about $15,000. He had zero in it. He placed little value on things because he didn't have anything in it. I said, I'll give you $1,000 for that watch right now. I got it in my pocket, cash. It's about a $15,000 watch. He said, no, I don't think I want to do that right now. So he went down to the Valley. He was with Brother Bill for several days, and he came back and spent a couple of days. And so we were in the car going to eat, and it was nighttime. And he said, you still want to buy that watch? I said, yeah, I really do. I said, you take $1,000? He said, I guess so. Because it's you, I'll take $1,000 for it. And so I was getting my billfold out, and my phone rang. And Pastor Bill Moore said, Pastor, what you doing? I said, I'm riding down the road here with our friend, and I'm going to buy that watch he's got. And Pastor Bill said, be careful, Pastor. And when he said that, it clicked. He knew something I didn't know. And I said, okay. And so my brother said, give me $1,000 for this watch. I said, no, let's wait till we get back to the office. And so when I got out of earshot of him, I called Pastor Moore and I said, what do you mean, be careful? He He said, that's not the same watch. He said he spent 3 days on this border finding a duplicate of that watch. He said that watch is worth about $20. He's getting, it looks identical. Well, he had already shown me the original, so I would not have made that correlation that he had changed it in 2 or 3 days. I was about to pay $1,000 for a $20 watch. And he had been gone when I finally realized I'd been duped. Well, that cost him a relationship with me. I've never fooled with that guy since. It looks the same. They say it's the same, but it's not exactly the same. And we're living in a society that wants something for nothing. So the Apostle Paul warns us, even in his day, and exceedingly so in our day, that there will be people, and you say, why will they do that? There is so many things that we don't understand, how people can receive money and influence by cheating somebody else. So Paul warns us that there are going to be those people that will come, they will preach another gospel, they will preach another Jesus, and they will preach another spirit. And to those that are pure, all things are pure. We do not think for a moment that they would be deceiving us. I've told you years ago, several of the people in our church started going downtown to a little storefront where a guy was preaching, and they told me how marvelous he was. And I said, well, just be careful. It's not that we want to covet you for our sake, but we do not want you to be deceived. And so they went down there several nights, and they really liked what was going on. And so at some point in time, he decided that he wanted to take up jewelry. And so he took up their jewelry, their watches, and their rings. And they went back the next service, and the door was closed, and he had skipped town. That was people right here in this congregation. There are people that want to deceive us, and we have to be very careful that we are not deceived. And simply because it looks good and it passes that smell test for a moment, if it does not line up with the Word of God, it does not mean that it is the real gospel. I don't want to talk so much today about another Christ or another spirit. I want to talk about another gospel. How important is the gospel of Jesus Christ? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I believe that in order to be saved, you have to be saved with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan blinds people's eyes where they will not place significance on the gospel. And they like to give us all kinds of scenarios about, well, this person did not have the opportunity to hear the gospel. All I can tell you is what the Word of God said. When I quit being a judge and when I quit being an umpire, my life got so much easier to just say what the Word of God says and then let God make the determination. But the Bible said, if this gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I am saved today not because of my race, not because of my intellect, not because of any ability, not because I'm saved for one reason, and it is because I am obedient to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the eternal life or death matter, the gospel, what you believe. It's not just because I go to that church and I like their music, or I like some of the people there, or it's convenient, or I like the building, or a thousand different other reasons. The reason why I should go to a church is they preach the life-altering gospel of Jesus Christ and the true gospel. How powerful is the gospel? The gospel is more important than all personalities. We choose sometimes churches because the pastor has a winning personality or has a great ability. The Apostle Paul warned us of that. He said, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another say, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, you're selecting to follow somebody because of their personality. Who then is Paul? He tells you of himself, I'm nobody. I'm just a human being. And there are people that for some reason like to put spiritual leaders up. I guess it's the same reason why they pay phenomenal ticket prices to go see a movie star or an athlete or a singer. I've never really cared about doing that. I just, when you realize that everybody is created equal, you kind of lose that starstruck mentality. And I'm not looking for anybody's autograph. I'm not even looking for a spiritual leader that becomes my guru. And the Apostle Paul says, I am nothing. I am nothing. Who then is Paul? And he said, who is Apollos? It's documented that Apollos was a tremendously influential speaker, maybe with the ability like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or someone that has the tremendous ability to speak. They sway the masses. Dr. King, thank God, had a pure motive. Hitler was one of the greatest speakers in the history of the world. But as you know, his motive was diabolical. It was demon-possessed. But the ability to speak is a tremendous influential thing. Apollos had that. And so some people were following him because of that. So the Apostle Paul said, I'm nothing, and Apollos is nothing. That what is important is the power of the gospel. The gospel is more important than personalities. I've always liked this verse. It's more powerful than pretense. I've talked to so many people in a lifetime of ministry that the reason why they don't serve God is because of hypocrites. That's their whole philosophy. Well, I don't go to church because the preacher was a hypocrite, or I knew one of the deacons and he was a hypocrite, or my mother-in-law went there and she said one thing and lived another. That's their justification. The Apostle Paul, he talks about this very thing and addresses this. But he said, the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He's talking about how important the gospel is. What is it then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. What is he saying? He said, some people preach the gospel, but they do it for the wrong reason. They're hypocritical. He said, I don't even care. He said, I rejoice that the gospel is preached because the gospel is more important than the vessel of which it springs. The gospel is eternal. Somebody said, I found out, Pastor, that the man that baptized me wasn't living for the Lord. Do I need to be rebaptized? Oh, you can if it makes you feel better, but you don't need to be rebaptized because it wasn't about the baptizer. It was about the one in whom you were being baptized in. Well, I found out that the preacher that I was listening to was not sincere. Paul said, whether in pretense or sincerity, I don't care because my confidence is not in the preacher. My confidence is in the gospel. What is the gospel? We talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? I've never thought of it in just this way until Friday. But the gospel is the autobiography of Jesus Christ. It's not the biography. The biography means somebody else wrote it. The gospel is the autobiography. It means that Jesus wrote this about himself. So how do you say that? As who godly men were carried along by the Holy Spirit, he superintended their words and used them to produce the scripture as a sailing ship is carried along by the wind to reach its final destination. So the human authors of scripture were moved by the Spirit of God to communicate exactly what he desired. That's what I'm saying, but this is what the Bible said. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, it was the Holy Ghost that was telling those men what to write. And so they wrote about the life, the death, and the burial of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel is the autobiography of the Lord Jesus Christ. We literally believe what the Bible says or does not say. I believe that these holy men wrote without error what God wanted to be in the Bible for the ages. There are many translations today. I particularly like the King James translation because there are less changes and adaptations to it. But I had a friend that was an atheist. He was my lawyer for years, and he was a wonderful lawyer and a wonderful person, but he was an atheist. Now, he was not a mean atheist. He was a searching atheist. He was a kind atheist. He liked to sit with me and talk the scripture, trying to believe. Friend, if you are a believer, thank God. Because I watched my friend James, the attorney, I watched him try to believe, but for somehow, some reason, he didn't have the ability to believe. And he would query me and ask me questions, trying to believe. And as far as I know, he's now gone on and he never received Christ. And I think about him often, such a wonderful man. But when I think about this man, one of the things he asked me, he said, Steve, he said, you believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God? I said, absolutely. Being a lawyer, that meant much to him. He said, I got you. He said, because there are so many translations and there are variations. I said, there are, and some are better than others. Some are more exact than the others. But I said, James, you get me any translation of the Bible in America today, and I can lead you to Christ through that translation, because Christ not only sent his word by men writing as they were ordained by the Holy Spirit to write the autobiography of Christ, down through the ages, he has protected the translations enough that you can read those translations and find the gospel. He has preserved the gospel because he wants everybody not to have the gospel hidden from them, but presented to them. So how do we receive this gospel? It's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to read it. It's something else to receive the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's take a few moments and go through that. The first thing he says about the gospel and saying the time is fulfilled, Mark 1:15, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The two first things we do in receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ is we repent and we believe. Repent means what? It means telling God that you're sorrowful, that you're sorry for the way that you have offensively lived toward his teaching, and you did it in ignorance and rebellion. But now you have changed, and you're making that about face. That 180-degree turn, it's called repentance. And then you believe the gospel. And so we do that all over America, but I'm afraid that we are not getting the gospel into people's hearts. It's not enough to stand in a football stadium and say, if you accept Christ, lift your hand. And that's all that ever happens to you. It's not enough. It's not enough just to lift your hands. It's not enough, as they did in California at the theater church, to blink your headlights if you want to accept Christ. You must repent. You must believe. But there's a little bit more than that. But he said, they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? It's not enough just to repent. It's not enough just to believe, but we must obey the gospel. There is an obedience to the gospel. Christ loves you as you are. He will take you as you are, but he will not leave you as you are. If you choose to stay where you found him, you will be left behind, because Christ himself said, pick up your cross and follow me. It's not enough just to accept him. You must repent, you must believe, and you must obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, the Bible said in Galatians 2:14, and when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, you must walk uprightly. The Bible teaches us that it is very, very important that we walk uprightly, that we follow Christ. I watch Christian television very sparingly, but I did hear a man that I know personally that has a worldwide following of millions say it's absolutely not necessary that your behavior be altered when you come to Christ. If you come to Christ, it does not matter about your behavior after that. That's absolute heresy, folks. The truth is, he said, you will walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. It will change the way you are. I don't know about you. I can't have your testimony. My testimony is that he has dramatically, he has gloriously, he has supernaturally changed my life. I am not living like I would live if I did not know Christ. My lifestyle has been changed. My walk has been altered. My conversation is different than it would be if I were not a Christian. I don't use profanity. I don't speak curses on people. I do not use God's name in vain. I abhor things that are ungodly. I refrain from certain people and certain places. I set myself apart, not by my strength, but the power of the gospel has done that. If you are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it can't be another gospel. It has to be the same gospel. If you look at the record in the New Testament, from the Apostle Peter to the Apostle Paul, when they reached out and received the gospel, it changed their life dramatically. If I can say, be so bold to say, if you have not changed, you might not be saved. Because I can promise you, if Christ is inside of you, it will change you. He is a life-altering Christ. He is a mind-changing Christ. Out of the same vessel cannot flow the waters that are bitter and sweet. You have to choose whose side you're on. You have to choose how you're going to live. You have to choose how you're going to speak. Your conversation will be greatly affected. Your lifestyle will be forever altered because you have walked uprightly. You have received the gospel. You have been obedient to the gospel. And next, the gospel must be mixed with faith. Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Said we all heard the same sermons, we all read the same book, we all heard the same gospel. But he said the word preached did not profit them. They got no profit out of him. It did not change them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It changed us because we mixed our faith with what we heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you hear the gospel, you must mix it with your faith. And when you have that holy recipe of the word of God and your faith, and you mix it up, it is a belief in the gospel that Jesus Christ came, that he was born of a miracle, born of a virgin, that he lived without sin, that he died on a cross for our sins, that he rose again the third day. That is the gospel. And because of that, we are changed. We were blind, but now we see. We were dead, but now we were alive. We were going to hell, but now we're going to heaven. We were outside, but now we're inside. We had no covenant, but now we have a new covenant. The thief was stealing from us every day, but now we have an abundant life. We mixed our faith with the word of the gospel. The gospel next is the transforming experience. Not a transforming experience, it is the transforming experience. If you go to Harvard and get that great coveted degree, your life will be changed. If you become a great skilled employee and you accumulate great wealth and you have a home in the Dominion, your life will be changed. If you develop an ability or skill, your life will be changed. But there is nothing, not a degree from Harvard, not $500 million in the bank, that will transform your life. It'll change your life, but it won't transform it. But I'm telling you that the gospel received, obeyed, brought into your life, walked uprightly, will transform your life. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of wisdom or of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I was raised around wonderful Pentecostal preachers, and they loved God with all of their heart, but they had very little education. They had no excuse but to preach the gospel. That's all they knew. They didn't have a degree from A&M. They didn't have a degree from Texas University or LSU or the University of Illinois at Urbana. They didn't have a degree. Some of them didn't have an eighth grade education. They were just saved and gloriously saved. So they preached the simplicity of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm fearful lest we corrupt the simplicity of Jesus Christ. These were simple people preaching the word of God. That wasn't the case with the Apostle Paul.